I'm going to be reading from Isaiah 7, 10 to 16. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. It is not enough to try the patience of humans, but you try the patience of my God also. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey before he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste."
I'll be reading from Matthew 1, 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid and take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill when the Lord had said through the prophets, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Before we start, thank you, Jessica, for your slideshow.
So, are you sure? Are you really sure? Is that what she said? I don't know. I'm really nervous about this. She's really religious, huh? Okay. I'll meet with her.
What do you mean, he's really religious? Huh. Well, he seems like a nice enough guy. I mean, just from what I've seen.
Hi. I'm Rob.
I'm Linda.
Wow, she's hot. That wasn't in the script either. So, Carol thinks you and I would make a pretty good couple.
Yeah, that's what she said. She thought you might be somebody that I might be interested in.
Yes.
You know, I don't know.
She said the same about me. I'm scared to death. She's driving me nuts.
Well, what do you think about this? I mean, well, I'm not sure.
I'm not either, but...
I don't really want a date.
You don't want a date?
No. Yeah. I'd rather have just a friendship.
A friendship. I like that idea a lot.
Can we just be friends?
Yeah. You know, the marriage thing, you know, kind of scares me. Okay, let's go on a date. It's a good lunch. What do you think?
Yeah, lunch is good.
Yeah, lunch is good. You look really nice today.
Thank you.
She was wearing blue that day, by the way. So I think we should do this again. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe next week.
Next week?
Okay.
You know, I really like this girl, but I don't really know. I mean, she really makes me nervous. I mean, she says one thing, but she seems way more serious than I would think. I mean, I don't know. I gotta come up with a plan.
He seems like a nice enough guy. I don't know him very well yet. Oh. And he's got to meet all of this whole long criteria of stuff that I want to have met when I... if I ever marry somebody again. He's got to like my kids and really take care of them. He's got to like my parents. But first of all, he's got to love God. I don't know about this guy.
So let's go to lunch today. You want to go to lunch today?
Okay, I think we need to fast forward.
Fast forward. Okay, we're going to fast forward. So Linda, hey, I got to go to Detroit. We've been dating now for about 6 months. I got to go to Detroit and work on a project.
Bye.
She was getting way too serious.
Wonder if he's ever going to ask me to marry him.
Fast forward. So your parents think that I should ask you to marry on Christmas Eve? Where did that come from?
Well, I think you should.
okay, I think I'll get married when I'm really ready to. I'm really nervous about this. It didn't work very good the first time. Okay, let's plan on getting married in a year, or at least getting engaged in a year, maybe get married in a year. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, we can, yeah. If I really know that that this relationship's going somewhere.
Okay, okay. So anyway, just to let you know, we agreed on 1 year and to get engaged, and then in 3 years we get married. So how it really turned out is we got engaged in a month and got married within that year. So I guess once I decided that she was okay, I was jumping ahead. So we're married now, and we're in Gainesville, Florida, and about 3 weeks after we're married, Linda said,
"Don't you think one of us is supposed to be leaving now?"
Because that was pretty much the motto. I mean, we set a standard that, you know, we would get together, and then we'd have a good time, and then I'd go somewhere, and then we'd get together and have a good time, and then I'd go somewhere, and then I'd get together and go somewhere. So of all the people in this congregation, how many times have I been gone for work?
A lot.
So is that a lot? Let's see. Can you name all the places? I can. Anyway. Go ahead, Linda.
So the question is, how is it possible to be present with another one who is absent? What does it mean to be present to another? What does it mean to have a deep desire for God's presence as well as God's heart desire? Time spent away from loved ones can seem long or even like an eternity, especially when the day of reunion gets closer. We draw from experiences of, today we're going to be drawing from our experiences of longing for each other to evoke a deep desire for God's presence as well as God's heart desire, and the certainty that our full restoration to God's presence is imminent. When we started dating, it was a long-distance relationship for about 2 years. When we got married, it was a long-distance relationship for about 10 years, maybe half of our married life. As soon as we were married and I moved to Florida, Rob had a long-distance assignment in Hawaii. So he flew from Hawaii to Florida and back and forth and was gone 3 weeks at a time. And the question a lot of people asked us, have been asking us, is how is it possible to keep our relationship strong and healthy while we're apart? And I think that question applies to our relationship to God. How do we keep our relationship strong and healthy to God even though we don't actually see God? So we're going to give sort of an analogy of our relationship to God based on our relationship to each other. So when we were, before we were married, we, and even now when we've been apart, we stay in touch with one another through email, phone calls, and letters, cards, little notes to one another before one of us has to leave, that kind of thing. But before, we made a commitment to stay in relationship with one another. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plan." So we committed our relationship to God. And then there's another verse from James that says, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you." And that's actually kind of what happened. So as we were apart, we would come near to God, and we would come back together and talk about our experiences with God, and then we would become closer to God together after that. Do you want to read any of this? So early in our marriage and in our wedding vows, we established an understanding that we are both individuals, and yet we're committed to each other, and that pattern has continued in our marriage. There was one instance where, going back to the question of longing for the day of reunion, the last time that Rob was in Fargo, which was all of September and October, it was 6 weeks, he was due to come home on October 28. I made sure the house was clean. Things were picked up. All the kid toys were put away. I did my hair and my makeup, trying to make things look just right for his arrival. I was excited, and I was longing to see him again. The last 6 weeks when Rob was in Fargo were difficult because we had limited communication. It's hard to be really present to another person when there isn't regular communication. It's hard to practice awareness over long distance. Sometimes this was due to time differences or simply because we each had things to accomplish and we knew it was better to not interrupt one another. But this is a good example of times when we forget or maybe don't want to be in God's presence or in relationship with God. But sometimes that communication with God is hard. We go through tough times. It's okay to yell and scream at God. God can take it. It's okay to say, God, I'm really lonely. God can be there with you. The other times that we've been apart is through my education. In just finishing my master's program at George Fox Evangelical Seminary, it required a large commitment from Rob and me both. There were many nights away from home, and there was time spent at home in quiet concentration. He often had to make his own dinner and do his own laundry for about 3 or 4 years now. That takes commitment to the relationship to be able to do that. Through the years, we've developed synergy and commitment again, and this has led to confidence in one another, and confidence has built love that's lasted during our absent times. It's made it easier for us to support each other for the changes and the desires and the wishes that we want to do, things we want to do, and we afford that grace to one another to grow. There was a quote in our Sunday school book for this week on page 103, in case any of you are interested, that says, "Grace changes the one who receives it, and it also changes the one who gives it." And I think that's what's happened with Rob and me, is that we've allowed grace for one another, for growing, for differences, for difference of opinion, and it's helped each of us to grow. The longing that we have had for one another has built a tie that's allowed us to endure the times apart, but it's allowed us to grow individually and focus on our relationship with God. That time apart, because we're longing for one another, we've transferred that longing to God, and so we have a longing for God's presence in our life. Of course, when we're not together, we miss one another. We miss our solace, we miss our comfort, but we find that solace and comfort in drawing close to God through prayer, Bible reading, and contemplation. So sometimes when we're away from one another, we end up growing closer to God. It's been an interesting journey. So Rob has a story that he wants to tell. Does it fit? It doesn't really fit.
No, let's say it anyway, because it does fit. So men, I go over here because, you know, if I'm over there, then you're looking at Linda, and I want all the attention I can get. So when a man's away and his wife calls you on the phone and says, "The pump stopped working," which means I have no water, you know, you kind of go into this panic mode, like, okay, I am thousands of miles away from home. What do I do? How can I do this? So immediately, I mean, I don't think immediately I drop to my knees in prayer, but I know there's nothing I can do, so I ask God to kind of guide Linda. So I said, "Well, why don't you call somebody, Stutzman?" I was looking for Mar. Where's he at? Oh, there you are. She called Stutzman, and they came out, and they got the pump running. And then she said she needed more guidance. So the thing is that even though I wasn't there, we were able, because I think of the distance experiences that we've had, we were able to stay in sync and support one another, even though I wasn't standing right next to her. So I said, "Get some bids, and we'll just do the best we can." She sent me the bids. I validated them, et cetera, like a good old guy would do. And she went ahead and had the pump installed. And I said, "Take some pictures." You know, I love pictures. So I think the issue here is that even though I was away with the pump story, we had ability to work together from a distance because we knew each other and we knew what each other needed. When I said get some bids, she knows what that means, both from my comfort zone as well as from getting the right pump installed, you know, into the for the house. So
that's an illustration of a time when we were separate, and that separation helped us to keep our faith strong. We depend on God for answers. We depend on God for helping us through the situation.
So one more story to tell you is that recently we had the ice storm that came, the really nasty storm. And I'd driven to work, I think it was Wednesday.
Thursday.
But it was Wednesday when the storm came in, Wednesday night, right? And so I left the office at 4, I got home at 7. So it wasn't 32 hours, but still 4 hours, 3 hours to get, 3 hours to get from Salem to Albany is an awful long time. But the next day I got up, and it was icy. And I think over time when you're away from your spouse, you start to listen to God. Now, I don't think God talks to me like, Rob, I'm talking to you. You know, there's just a sense of God. And so I get in the truck, and of course, I'm new to my job, and I don't have all of the information, like handheld devices that keep me on top of, emails, etc. I decide to send an email to my boss and to my coworker saying, I'm on my way, it's 6 a.m., I should be there by 8, I was hoping. I didn't get more than 100 feet down the road, and I got an email back. My boss called me and said, don't come to work, the office is closed. So I thought, wow, that's great. So I went back and told Linda, I just thought for a second to send an email to them, and I just really felt that was God nudging me to do that, because those roads on Thursday morning were really bad.
So the question is, are you listening? When are you in God's presence? Do you hear him? Do you hear her? Are you aware of God's presence in your daily life? Can you sense when God might be nudging you to say something or do something for another person? For whom does your heart long? With whom do you have desire to have reunion? Chris and Angie and Logan are expecting reunion very soon. And John and Lisa had a great reunion with Stephanie. Who does your heart long for? Those are also God's longings. God is in each of us, and that longing and that wholeness, that desire for wholeness, comes from God. And we want to close with some verses from Romans, which were part of our readings for today, but I didn't include them in the service. This is from Romans 1, 9 to 12. It says, God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all time. And I know that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. It's just our hope today that our story is just an encouragement to your faith story and to your faith journey to stay strong in God. Thank you.